Welcome to Compliance Pointers, where we take an in-depth look into the latest news, trends, and challenges surrounding information security, privacy, and marketing compliance. Let's dive in with your host, Jordan Eisner.
This is the intro to Compliance Pointers. Another episode here with Matt Dumiak, who is director of not only our data privacy practice here at Compliance Point, but also our marketing compliance practice. So he's a go-to resource for EU and US, North America, really, privacy regulations, whether they be historic out of our marketing compliance group and centered around outbound marketing and direct-to-consumer contact activities, or what's been emerging data privacy law here in the States for the past few years, which of course got its birth, or the GDPR was the catalyst for all of this out of EU. So why is that relevant? Because we're going to be talking about the EU AI Act today, and it could be GDPR all over again in terms of they put it out first and then the states start to follow. I know Colorado and maybe some other states already have them, but we'll see with this EU Act if it's an event similar to GDPR where others starts. Now, there's some political dealings that might prevent some of that on the state level, at least for the, you know, near future. But maybe a topic for another day. For today, we're just going to talk about the EU Act, what it is, how to know if it applies to you, what to do if it does apply to you, and ultimately, how to mitigate risk associated with that, which is what we focus on here at Compliance Point. So, Matt, what is the EU AI Act, other than the obvious, and who does it apply to?
Yeah, sure. Good place to start. So, and I know you brought up GDPR. So the EU AI Act is like a cousin, or maybe kind of sits alongside the GDPR. It's broadly applicable to organizations that are either they market or have brought to market an AI solution, or so we would call those providers. So they really develop the AI technology, they market it, they sell it, that type of situation, or organizations who are deploying AI. I bring up the kind of it sits alongside GDPR because it does not have any, it's really the applicability or the I should say when the scope and applicability is not based off of personal information and artificial intelligence. It's really just the artificial intelligence. So if it's an AI system and it's in the EU market, that's where these types of obligations would start kicking in under the EU AI Act. Now, it does reference the GDPR.
That's been created by the company or developed by the company, not necessarily where a company is leveraging already established AI.
That's right. Well, no, maybe clarify that. So there's a couple things going on there. So there are some, and we'll talk about these with the deadlines, but this law passed in August of 2024. Some things have kicked in surrounding some of the requirements, but nothing material outside of some obligations for general purpose AI. We'll get into the high risk systems, but there's this lag here that is, there's 2026 AI or high risk AI systems have some obligations that kick in. So, you know, a little under a year, August 2026. In August 2027, legacy general purpose AI systems that were on the market before August 2nd, 2025, that's when they need to start complying with the EU AI Act. So I hope that clarifies your question or your point there, that it doesn't just apply to those who are developing it currently or who are deploying it currently. It could apply both in future states, certainly, but certainly things that are occurring now as well. So
You've got some experience with technology and future state and capacity.
Yeah.
With the TCPA, and that was complicated.
Yep, the capacity.
Years on years. Do you envision a similar thing here?
We'll see. I think they've done a good job of kind of clarifying what the definition of artificial intelligence system is. But it's such a new and cutting edge field and technology and law, that yeah, absolutely, there will be questions. And even as we were preparing for this, I was listening to a podcast about some artificial intelligence in general, and there were obviously interested parties seeking opinion from the European Data Protection Board, who oversees really the GDPR, about whether or not there is personal information involved in models. Would that be covered by the GDPR? Because there's this there's a paper out of Germany that talks about the fact that even if so this is kind of a controversial opinion, but there's a paper out of an organization in Germany that looks at, okay, with the model, it involves some personal information, but by the time it digests that and really the output of it doesn't include any personal information, it's all aggregate. That paper outlined that any model would be anonymous. The European Data Protection Board disagreed with that, and it's not controversial per se, but what came to light from that is that it's going to be a case-by-case basis that the regulators in Europe look at each form, like how AI is leveraged and engaged, to determine whether or not privacy obligations apply. So that I just thought was an interesting tidbit that called out that even, you know, it's so new that, yeah, it's still totally up in the air. So absolutely. Now, I don't know about that capacity and things like that under TCPA, but, you know, we'll see. Absolutely.
So I can't describe or define what AI is, but I know what it is when I see it.
That's right. Absolutely.
All right. If an American business, because that's what we're focused on here today for this podcast.
Yep, that's right.
If an American business does find out that applies to them, or they're on the fence, or it's quite possible it does, what do they need to know? What should they do?
Yeah, sure. And to your point, and just to hopefully clarify that, even if they're based here in the US and they do not have a physical presence in the EU, if they're a provider and they're putting a tool out in the EU market, it likely applies. If they're deploying it and it generates processes data or generates output in the EU, it likely applies. So just like GDPR, it's broadly applicable scope and application. It's not just organizations that have a physical presence in the EU. They're going to be looking at not just personal information, but what again is going on in the EU. They call it the EU market, right? So this law is, when you break it down, it's all over the place. There's a lot of terminology. There's a lot of definitions. Some are newer in concept. I think that we should probably, and I'm happy to answer any questions about this, Jordan, or take a different route. But my thought was really focusing on a couple things. So there are prohibitive practices or prohibitive AI systems that we can touch on that have unacceptable risk. Those deadlines to cease all operations that would be considered prohibitive, are that deadline is hit. Then there's high risk AI systems. And then there's just kind of normal, or not high risk, but general purpose AI. So there's a few tiers there from a risk perspective of prohibitive, high risk, and then general purpose. The majority of and then there's two concepts, and I've already used the terms a couple times, but there's providers and there's deployers. So providers, you could think of like OpenAI, right? Or anyone who's developing an AI model and deploying and pushing that and selling it or offering it to the market, or even internally developing an AI model and using that without selling. So it doesn't have to be that someone's purchasing it for it to be to fall under the provider bucket. Or there's your deployers. So I think that the majority of obligations fall onto the provider. In the same breath, I'll say that I believe the majority of organizations probably listening to this podcast or concerned about the EUA Act or EU AI Act are going to be the deployers of it. So businesses that are looking to another provider to purchase their AI solution, implement that in some form or fashion, right? Whether that be for advertising means or within the HR landscape or whatever that might be.
Yeah.
So when it's unacceptable risk, and so again, these should not be occurring anymore. And we've all seen like examples of these in movies and things like that, but things like deploying subliminal or manipulative or deceptive techniques to distort behavior, which again, you could see how some of these AI systems, maybe they are following under that inadvertently even, but AI used to evaluate or classify individuals. So things like social scoring, we've seen that in countries that would be prohibited in the EU. That should not be occurring. And we'll talk about the different level of penalties and things like that under that, but also things like compiling facial recognition, on untargeted scraping of facial images from the internet or CCTV footage, that type of thing. Yeah, should not be occurring. Well, again, by from an untargeted scraping of facial images, like I think it's also the application of that as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's one thing, and those should not be, those are prohibited now. Those are within the deadline now at this point, and that deadline was the 2nd of February this year. Those should be, those are prohibited. Then you go into high risk AI systems. Those are things, anything including biometrics, but again, it's about the purpose and use. AI systems used to ensure that critical infrastructure is safe, education. So from an AI perspective with education, things like determining admission to an institution or a university, that would be a high risk AI system. Employment. So employment, I think we've seen AI in use in the employment landscape or in the employment context for a long time. Anything from using an algorithm to review resumes, but also we've seen AI used on, as an example, maybe in your context, Jordan, and I don't think you all are using this, but I would call it, we have clients that use AI in the sales context that will not just take notes or summarize calls and provide action items and, you know, provide in that regard, but also that will look at, okay, how did the salesperson perform, compare them against their colleagues, and help their managers make some coaching decisions and that type of thing, as an example. So, you know, that's kind of interesting, right? But again, HR side, I think AI has been, we've been running into AI since 2018, 2017, from an HR perspective.
2001 Space Odyssey.
That's right. Exactly right. So it's been around a long time. Law enforcement, migration, asylum, border control, any of that stuff, that would be high-risk AI systems. So you can imagine that's those are some pretty meaningful decisions that the artificial intelligence would be making and dealing with some pretty personal or sensitive information. Again, maybe not personal, but some of it would be likely personal, the types of things we've called out there.
Sure. I think these next questions are going to be the important one, which is, you know, what are the risks or penalties that come from violating the act? Because I hear you, maybe the definitions are clear, but also trying to cage something that's maybe not designed to be caged.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, yeah. And it's, I think they've, you're exactly right. Like in the US, it's more business forward. It's move fast, break things. In the EU, certainly, just like I think the analogy was good there to the GDPR in terms of at least bringing everybody under the same umbrella there in terms of a federal or a region-specific AI law that, you know, there it is. I think they're trying to strike a balance, but it is likely to stifle some things because not only you think about the requirements that we've just run through at a high level, it's expensive to implement those types of requirements. So yeah, we'll talk about the fines here, the penalties, but even just building a program to comply with the EU AI Act, some organizations are going to look at that and say, that's cost prohibitive for us. We're not going to be capable of building that. So what we're going to do right now is at least pause this in the EU market. So yeah, individuals within the EU may not see some benefit from what can be a really powerful tool or powerful solution, right? So yeah, I think that some organizations will likely do that and limit that exposure in the EU. They'll likely do that in the US too, in California or Colorado, where they might say, yeah, we're just not comfortable with building out that program. We're a startup, we're running quickly. We're not gonna run the risk of violating those laws today.
All right, what is the risk? Give the people what they want.
Well, and it's not a scare tactic. I mean, they're large penalty amounts. So for the prohibitive practice,
that's what's GDPR.
Absolutely.
Which has really only been big companies. I think we should, you know.
For the large fines, yes. Well, for the large fines, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, you're not going to see, you know, it's the Amazons, the Metas, the Googles that are getting the hundreds of millions and $1 billion fines. British Airways, millions of dollars, but they're well-known brands, exactly right. That's who they're going at. That's who they're gonna position themselves to target. And those are the organizations or businesses processing their most personal information as well.
Yeah,
right.
They're well-known.
Sure. Right. They're not the number one airline, but it is certainly something that smaller companies face risk to, but it's more like low five-figure fines under the GDPR. We'll see where they go with the EU AI Act, but with the prohibited practices, so those high risk prohibited can't be doing them. $35 million per violation, pretty high, plus or up to 7% of global revenue.
That's significant,
right?
You know, yes. I do respect that.
Yep.
Them. Whichever's higher, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. They do, and they do something similar on the so when you get into the high risk or general purpose AI. It's up to $15 million or 3%. And there's some tiers there
so
that go
the GDPR
to
ones.
7.5 to 1% as well.
What for the last one?
7.5 million to 1% of global revenue. So that's things like presenting or providing. So any AI, so we could talk through the tiered requirements, but if you're putting artificial intelligence to the market and this applies, there's going to be some transparency obligations. That's that lowest tier of penalty. So if there were incomplete transparency requirements or disclosures, that's going to be the 7.5 million, 1% of global revenue.
So put you on the spot here. The GDPR fines, have any of them actually been, what was theirs? 2% of global revenues or three? What was it? What was the percent?
Yeah, three.
3%. Have
three and five.
Actually mm-hmm. been 3% of global revenue?
Not that I'm aware of. Yeah. Maybe some of those smaller ones, if they, but that would have to be egregious. But no, like
it's
we look
outrageous. I'm trying not to let personal.
When you look at them,
factor in here.
Yeah, well, when you look at the Meta violations, those sound like really huge numbers, and then you look at their global revenue numbers, and the fine, the penalty amounts are something like 0.5%, or something, you know, 0.25% of their global revenue.
Still a lot there.
It's a ton. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. We'll do how to comply, you know, another day. I think that's a follow-up to this.
Okay.
Or separate podcast good. In itself. But when you think of runaway AI or AI turning on the people, what movies do you think of?
RoboCop.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. You got any for me? You're the movie buff.
Well, 2001 Space Odyssey, how?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just dark.
Yeah.
I always think of Terminator.
Terminator? Yeah.
Yeah.
I always think of RoboCop for some reason.
Yeah. What's the program in Terminator that they go back in time to stop? Spoiler alert.
I don't know.
You don't remember?
No. It's been a long time since I've seen that.
What is it? The Skynet.
Ah, Skynet. So if you see that come out.
Yes. Skynet. What about Demolition Man? Or is that just like
it.
The future was just like two buttoned up? What? Sylvester Stallone, Sandra Sylvester Bullock, Stallone. Wesley Snipes?
Never seen it. I'll add it to the list.
They freeze Sylvester Stallone because... Wesley Snipes, I think, is also frozen, but he's a criminal. And so they freeze Sylvester Stallone, so if Wesley Snipes ever comes back, they can bring him back, but then he's in the future. Might not be AI, per se, it's just the society just has a lot more rules back then. Like, he gets a ticket for cussing. Like, some like recording device on the street gives him a ticket for using foul language.
Automatically. Probably some social scoring there, too. So I think you're dead on with the artificial intelligence.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, there's a lot with AI. It's a lot to take in. So
It is. This is a robust law. There are a lot of obligations specifically for high-risk AI systems, specifically for providers of them.
Yeah.
That we could certainly do another episode on and really run through in detail some of those kind of high-risk or hot-button items that, you know, organizations are really going to want to cover off at the provider level, but also at the deployer layer too, where maybe those things mirror, like mix with or crosswalk each other nicely.
So we'll end with this. If you're listening or watching this and have concerns about how you're leveraging AI, is the EU Act applicable to you? Are stateside laws applicable to you? You're seeking more controls or governance around your program. And like me, you're just not quite grasping it. Reach out. Because we got people like Matt here who do have a deeper understanding of it. They do understand how AI is going to impact different controls you put in your organizations, whether it's around data governance, data security, other factors within an organization that is just real impactful stuff when you talk about employing AI systems across the organization and everything that it touches. So reach out. You can find us at compliancepoint.com. That's pretty easy. But also, we have an email distro, connect@compliancepoint.com. And we would welcome any inquiries or questions or concerns around AI or anything adjacent through that channel. And Matt is on LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn. You have questions or other sort of topics in this area that you want discussed, please don't hesitate to reach out. Until next time, thanks, everybody.